We have absolutely no idea what our budget is going to look like. I don't think anybody does. And I think that's a problem. Labor, when I came here, I was surprised by the fact that they've only had a appropriations bill passed on October 1st once in the last dozen or 13 years. So it makes planning very difficult. It's also forced the department, I think, to be very aggressive in priority setting and in establishing what it is we really need to do. And so what we literally have to do is identify what the core mission requirements are. As we go through our budget process, the structure that we put on it and the structure that Deputy Secretary and Secretary put on this is, does the budget reflect what our priorities are, the reason we feel like we're here? And if not, we realign it. We don't want to play the budget games where, okay, I know that you like this, so this is what I'm going to offer as a cut, and I know you won't take it. Those games are over for most of us, and I think for everybody. So you really have to identify your core mission, and you've really got to be aggressive about making sure you've aligned your budget priorities with that core mission.
One of the biggest challenges is there's such a big core mission. You could say, well, at Labor Department, we have X, Y, and Z, but then someone comes in and says, well, but A is really important, too, and B is really important, and they can go on down the list, and again, you'll have more priorities than you probably do have money. Is there a process you're going through, or are you guys getting together with the program people, with deputy secretaries, with other people to say, okay, let's make a list. Let's really figure out what we need to do and what we don't need to do.
Absolutely. What occurs is that every program office, when they come in and present their budget proposals, the team that reviews that from the budget office, from CFO's office, the assistant secretary, deputy secretary's office, there is a very strong focus on how that budget aligns. And if it doesn't align, they go back and do it again. And we have a number of offices have had to go back and restructure their budget because they're confused, number one, because we don't even have, you know, we never really had an 11 budget. And so look, and 12's up in the air. Now we're looking at 13. So in order to try to figure out what we're going to be asking for a year and a half from now, you have to make a lot of assumptions. But we have to be very structured and we have to be very disciplined. And so there's been a lot of redrafting in labor on our budget proposals just to make sure that they reflect those priorities we talked about.
What about for 12, though? Because obviously you already submitted the budget for 12. You're waiting for Congress to come back. Is there preparations going on now to knowing that even if you requested $100 and Congress may only come back with $50, you have to figure out, okay, where are we going to save that other $50? Or are you starting to have conversations, whether it's around personnel issues, whether it's around programmatic issues, whether it's around back office systems? Are those conversations happening around 2012 right now as well?
Yes, they are. The effort to try to make sure we're organizing and structuring budgets around our core mission actually began last year, because just the issues with the budget deficit obviously became very apparent last year. And so we're trying to make sure that we don't react to just every rumor that hits the street and try to hire as many people as we can because we think there's going to be a freeze tomorrow or things like that. We are trying to still be very conservative with how we spend our money, how we staff up, knowing that there's no budget proposal going to go forward that's going to give us everything we ask for. It's just a fact of life.
Has there been any kind of guidance from OMB? Has there been any kind of guidance from the CFO Council around preparing for potential budget cuts?
Yeah, the CFO community really does get together a lot, and we discuss informally as well as through the CFO Council structure, shared experiences and things we're doing in our different departments to try to address this. There's no real specific guidance coming out. I mean, we have constant communication with the budget office over at OMB on things that they think and things we ought to be looking at. So there's that consistent dialogue going on. However, nobody can give us any guidance because no one really knows what's going to happen. And again, we're just trying to avoid reacting to every single rumor that we hear.
The other thing the CFO community is working on is relooking at the CFO Act, something that's been around now for 20 years. Give me a sense of that effort of relooking at the Act and maybe saying, okay, is it time to update it?
The Improper Payments Elimination and Recovery Act of 2010, which included a lot of work on improper payments, a lot of requirements, also required that the CFO Council and the Inspectors General get together and jointly come up with recommendations on anything that ought to change, maybe lessons learned, anything that ought to change in the Act. And in the last 9 months, we've been going through a whole series of outreach sessions through the IG community, to the vendor community, the academic community, trying to get feedback on things that ought to change. We even convened a group of the former controllers and deputy controllers at OMB that had to implement the Act and had to make it work to try to see what they would do differently. John Reimer, the Inspector General at FDIC, and I co-chair that effort. And it's been a lot of fun, and it's also been a very educational experience. We're now working through the OMB clearance process.
Basically, what happens is you submit this report to OMB or you submit the report to Congress, and then they take it from there. Is that the next step?
Yes, exactly. Jeff Zients, at OMB is the chair of both the IG Council as well as the CFO Council. And so we'll be submitting the report to him, and he will then, in turn, send it to the Congress.
This, in many ways, relates to the AGA, the Grant Thornton CFO survey, that said the federal financial reporting model needs to be updated. Is that going to be something that the CFO Act report is also going to look at in some ways?
What we received the feedback on a lot was exactly that. I mean, I've been in this community for a lot longer than 20 years. For the last 20 years, that's everything I've heard was about we ought to mature the model, and maybe we should have this statement or that statement in terms of the actual requirements. I think that the model that was initially developed was a compliance model, because the federal reporting was in such a bad state. And the CFO Act has done an incredible job of instilling a discipline and an understanding of financial reporting, and also a comfort level that people can have with the financial reports. Everybody understands what a clean audit opinion is. And so if you go to the Congress and you have a clean audit opinion, at least you can debate the policies, but you at least know that the information you're providing is reasonable and is accurate. I've testified before Congress over the years more than 36 times, and the only time I was ever asked to testify on a financial statement, or it was last December after we lost our opinion. The Congress has a rule that says you have to have a hearing after that. So I had to go up and explain not only what happened, but what we plan to do about it. And then we had a follow-up hearing this past May after we received our clean opinion to talk about some other progress we made and also some further things we'd like to do. So the model worked, but it was a compliance model. The mode we're in now is, as we talked about earlier, on trying to project, on doing risk assessments, on trying to have the CFO be more of a help to managers within the department who have to put these programs on the ground and give them the information they need. They need to know they have good financial data, but they need a lot more than that. They need analytical tools. And so that's the next step. And what we're looking at is trying to see whether or not we can evolve that model to better reflect the environment we work in.